Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Stolz. Welcome to our Sunday worship. Let me give you the sermon text. The sermon text is 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. The Old Testament, Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. The Epistle, Romans 8, 18 to 23, and the Gospel, Luke 6, 36 to 42, and the closing hymn, 365. And let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given us his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To them that believe on his name, he gives power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks unto thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord. Thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. O Lord, we beseech thee that the course of this world may be so peaceably ordained and ordered by your governance, that your church may joyfully serve thee in all godly quietness. We pray this through Jesus Christ, the Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Let's confess our faith according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This morning's Old Testament reading, Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou that bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou covers him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. This then thy light break forth as in the morning, thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call on the Lord, and he shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and putting forth the finger, speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. So far. The Epistle, Romans, chapter 8, 18 to 23. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travail in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So far. The Gospel, St. Luke chapter 6, verses 36 to 42. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you mete out with shall be measured to you again. And then he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Neither how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast first out the beam out of your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. So far. This morning's sermon theme is Beyond Speculation. The sermon text is 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 through 8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. So far. Imprisoned at Rome, the Apostle Paul still had the faith to speak of his death as a departure. The dark walls of prison could not dampen his confidence that God would deliver him and give him the crown of righteousness. Such confidence Paul had toward God, because of the one sure word worthy of full acceptance, and that is, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The closer it is to our Lord's return, the more believers need to hear and proclaim this sure word. And that is why Paul wrote this second epistle to Timothy. The church needs to have God's word soundly preached and taught. For one thing, believers are attracted by so-called new and improved models of the gospel, new winds of doctrine that remove the assurance that our sins are forgiven. And for that reason, nothing could be more urgent than for Paul to preach the word of pardon in Christ Jesus. Right from the start, we learn of Paul's advice to Timothy that the ministry of the word is not seasonal. Everything else may be seasonal. But the need to proclaim the message of the law and the gospel revealed in God's word cannot be seasonal. For we are living in the time when every believer is fair game for the enemy, who turns people away from the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus. For the time is coming, Paul told Timothy, when people will not endure sound teaching. They'll have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own liking, and they shall turn away their ears and shall be turned to the fables. Many Christians today appear to be quite unconcerned about any danger to the Christian faith. It seems as if we are in a season of religious revival, not a season of religious crises. Paul urges all of us to be aware of the ever-present danger of false teaching and what it will do to believers. In the first place, no false teacher will ever claim himself to be a false teacher. The false teachers who sneaked into the churches of Galatia did not openly call Paul's gospel false. They claimed to have the full gospel. They insisted that Paul had not told the full story when he proclaimed Christ alone as the Savior. Observance of the Jewish ceremonial law was also necessary. They used all the correct slogans, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. You see, believers are sometimes fooled by such counterfeit teachers False teachers in Paul's day, well, they had two qualities. They appealed to audiences to have itching ears, people who were looking for new and improved and new exciting theologies. They spoke what people like to hear, people who are unsatisfied with the sure, steady words of the apostles. Paul's words sound as if they were written for our time, and indeed they are. Paul repeatedly commands the church in his epistles to follow the pattern of sound words, the sound words which he taught. The godless chatter of those who do not know what they are saying leads people into more and more ungodliness. It removes the Christian faith of all certainty. When all is said and done, the world's speculation matters little to people whose time of departure has come. Troubled by his past sins, a person dying of cancer may ask, "How could God ever forgive me? I have turned my back on him all of my life, and have never needed him until now. But my sins are more than I can bear." This man was looking for a certain word from God. When a pastor came along to speak that word, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How can we stand before a righteous, just God? Is there any word beyond speculation? Well, God has left us no room for speculation about whether or not our sins can be forgiven. They are. Paul wrote that God saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. One thing is clear about these words. Our relationship to God is not based on our performance. It is certain that Christ died in order that we might have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins. God left us no reason to doubt his grace. The appearance of his Son was not the result of human speculation, but of his sure and certain promises made before the foundations of the earth were even formed. Therefore, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In these words lies the key to our absolute certainty and happiness. God has declared us righteous by divine decree. He has justified us for the sake of Christ alone, declaring us pardoned for everything that we have ever done wrong. And there is laid up for us in heaven the inheritance of eternal life, which is ours now by faith. This is the gospel in which the Apostle Paul, the foremost of all sinners, found hope. It is also the gospel in which we find hope. The church needs to announce the good news to believers and non-believers. In closing, let me quote the words from our confessions, the Apology number 4. Consciences cannot find peace unless they hear the voice of God clearly promising the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, and to thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes down from above, that thy word as becometh it may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people. that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the very end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and to be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Closing hymn 365.